This is the Sunday morning worship service at Central Bible Church for January 18th, 1981.
Father, thank you that you have brought us here today. Father, thank you for all that you are holy and wise and righteous and loving and good. Father, thank you that every good and every perfect gift comes from you. Father, thank you for the great salvation that you have given to us who believe on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we see nothing of man today. May your Holy Spirit be upon us in a special way. May he stir our hearts to understand your truth, and to serve you and love you with all of our heart and our strength and our soul and our mind. We give this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing, please. Turn to 127. Rejoice. The Lord is King.
Three little boys this morning to dedicate and ask the parents to come if they will at this time. want to remind each of you this morning that bring your children, you're not only dedicating them, but you're committing yourself to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Lord has entrusted each one of you with the most sacred privilege you'll ever have in giving you these dear children. And I know that you look to Him for wisdom and blessing in the days to come. This is little Eldon Vincent Brown, and I'm sure all of you know Lowell and Kathy Brown. Lowell's on our camp staff. Father, we rejoice this morning with Lowell and Kathy and this precious little boy, and we do ask your richest blessing upon them as a family. We pray that it may be evident throughout little Eldon's life that your hand is upon him, and that your purposes are to be fulfilled in him. And we pray that you'll give Lowell and Kathy joy and blessing and wisdom day by day as they raise him to know and to love you. In our Savior's name, amen. This is Ted and Pam McKenna and their little Paul Duane. Father, as we bring little Paul to thee this morning, we rejoice that he is your gift to Ted and Pam, and we thank you that you put in their hearts to come this morning to present him to you as their testimony that they desire that he should be raised to know you and to love you and to live for you. And we just pray your richest blessing upon them and trust that they may have that joy that is the greatest of all joys in seeing this little one grow up to walk in the truth. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. And this little Philip David Jose and his parents, Roger and Mary. Father, as we come this morning to bring this precious little boy to thee, we do thank you for Philip and thank you for the joy that he's already been to his parents. And we pray that you'll put in his heart to be responsive to the truth of your word. And we ask, dear Lord, that as Roger and Mary teach him and love him and care for him, that the Spirit of God will be upon him in a very wonderful way, that your name may be glorified throughout his life and throughout theirs. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Three candidates for the ministry.
We want to welcome each one of you to our service this morning. We're just delighted that you're here, and we just trust that the Lord will richly bless each one of you as you hear the Word of God and as you fellowship with one another. May we give a very special word of welcome to any who might be visiting with us this morning. We're just trusting that the Lord would give you a very special blessing. We'd appreciate it very much if you'd sign one of those visitor's card in the rack before you and put it in the offering plate as it is passed later on in the service. We'd like to also invite you to come back tonight where we'll have Mr. Gary Custis will be bringing the message. This is the second in a series on the book of Daniel, a brief series on the book of Daniel, and I'm sure It'll be a time of rich blessing, and we certainly invite you to come back tonight. And would you notice the schedule for this evening? And if you can possibly take part in these things, why, I trust that you will do so. And I just want to make one more announcement, and that's concerning our coming missionary conference, which we have each year with Multnomah School of the Bible, and you'll notice that in the center page toward the bottom. And that begins in February. That's February 15th through the 20th. And I trust that you'll be praying about that. I do know that there are some of these missionaries that come to us. There's a number of missionaries that come. I think they have 100 at least. And so we do need some housing. And if you can do that during those times, you be sure and let the office know. Now, there's a number of other announcements which I could make, but I think you can read the bulletin and you just read it and come as you possibly can. Thank you.
Scripture reading this morning, I'd like to read from Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Follow along, please, as I read this passage aloud. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passed over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
As we go to prayer this morning, we have some additional requests. The father of Lois Bolt passed away Friday morning, and there's going to be a private funeral in Estacada, so let's remember this family in a very special way. We are happy to announce that those who have been in the hospital are now out. Most of them are out. Mrs. Sharnquist is still in, and I believe Mrs. Geist is still in. So let's keep praying for these people, and those that are gone home are not well, many of them, and so let's continue to remember them in prayer. And then our missionary of the week is Miss Carol Rainey of Indonesia, and our service family of the week is Royce and Shirley Embanks here in Portland. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, how we thank you for this psalm which we have just read. Father, how we thank you that you remember our frames, you know our frames, that we are but dust. And Lord, that we are so weak and foolish oftentimes in ourselves. We thank you, Father, that we can cast our cares and burdens and all our ways upon thee. We thank you that you have not left us alone. And Father, we thank you that your ways are not our ways, nor your thoughts our thoughts. And Lord, we just rejoice that you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we just would confess to thee our deep, deep need of you. And Lord, we know that without thee we can do nothing, and without thee we are nothing. But we rejoice, Father, for your marvelous, marvelous grace to each one of us. And Lord, we come to thee this morning acknowledging that we need more grace. Day by day, Father, we need continual grace to live the life that is pleasing in your sight. And we just pray, Father, that you would just help each one of us to truly cast ourselves upon thee. And Father, may our hearts be so fixed upon the Savior this morning that we might see none else but him. And Father, we would remember those of our congregation who are in deep need. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage them. We think, Father, of these sick ones that are in the hospital, and Lord, we know that there are many other sick ones whose names we do not have. And Father, we just would pray that in your marvelous mercy and in your grace, you would show yourself all sufficient to them. And during this time of illness, and Lord, we bring before thee all in our congregation who have special needs. We think of those in the radio audience, Lord, many of them who cannot come to church and cannot come to fellowship with your people. We just pray, Lord, that you would be very special and precious to them. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding, just be their portion in an abundant way. And Father, may each of us, as we go through times of trial and testing, may we just rejoice as we see Thee more than ever before, all sufficient for all things. And Lord, we just pray for these sick ones, that Your hand may be upon them in grace and in blessing. Wilt Thou supply every need in accordance with Your will. And Lord, we would pray especially for these that are sorrowing. We pray for Mr. Clisby's family. And Lord, we pray that as he has gone home, that his family may be encouraged and comforted. And Lord, we pray especially for Harvey and Norma Frisco and their children. And Lord, in this time of their grief, we pray that You would encourage them and preciously meet their need to the glory of Your name. We think too, Father, of the homegoing of Mr. Hunt, Mrs. Bolt's father. And Lord, we know that this is a sorrow for this family, and how we pray, Father, that You would comfort them, that You would be their encouragement and their strength at this time. And Lord, wilt Thou reveal to them in a new and deeper way how all-sufficient You really are. And then, Father, we would also remember our missionaries, and Father, we thank You for the for each one of our missionaries, which we support and pray for here in this congregation. And Lord, what a privilege it is to be workers together with them. And Lord, we just thank You for each one of them, and we pray that in a very special way this morning, even now, that You would be their encouragement, that You would be their strength, that You would be their joy, Father, that You would be their all. We pray especially for Miss Carol Rainey, and Lord, how we thank You for her love for You, for her zeal for You, for her diligence in her work. And Lord, we just pray that You would greatly encourage her. We thank You, Lord, for the praise that she has for Your goodness. And we pray, Lord, that day by day You might show Yourself abundantly sufficient to Carol. And Father, we just ask that You would use her in a very wonderful and effective way in the lives of those to whom she ministers. And Lord, just show Thyself all sufficient to her in a very, very wonderful way. We thank Thee too, Father, for those that have gone from us who are in the service. And we just do thank You, especially for Royce and Shirley Embanks here. And Lord, we just thank You for their love and faithfulness to You. We thank You for their zeal for You. And Lord, we just would plead with You that You would work in their hearts, work through Royce especially, as he contacts people in the service. And Lord, wilt Thou just make him a precious testimony. We just thank You, Lord, for his love for You. And we pray that You would use him in a mighty way. And Father, we would not forget our nation at this time. And Father, as Mr. Reagan takes office, we know, Father, that the task before him is far too great for any one man. But Father, we know too that You supply the need of those whom You appoint. And so, Father, we just pray that You might show Yourself sufficient to him, that You would encourage him, and Father, that You would just cause him to humbly recognize his need of You. And Father, may he daily seek Your wisdom, Your guidance. And we pray, Father, that You would give him wisdom far beyond his own for the task in the days to come. And Lord, we would pray very, very earnestly that You would turn us as a nation from our folly, from our wickedness, and Lord, from all our ungodliness, and turn us to Thee. And Father, send to this land a mighty spiritual awakening. We pray now especially for this service. And Lord, how we pray that each one of our hearts might be especially prepared of You. And Lord, wilt Thou just open our hearts to Your truth. And Father, we pray for Your richest blessing upon our pastor as he speaks to us. Give him special grace and strength and wisdom and joy and blessing. And Father, may the message that is brought be of eternal profit and blessing to each one of us here. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Number 91, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Let's sing this as a prayer of our hearts. Number 91.
Ask our men to come forward as we worship the Lord in the morning offering. Father, once again we come before Thee, acknowledging, Father, our great salvation and rejoicing in it. And Father, as we give to Thee this morning, how we pray that You would fill our hearts with great devotion and thankfulness and praise to You. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Sheltered in his love. It's so beautifully done, Becky and Annette, and appropriate for time like this. There's a matter of church business that needs to be taken care of at this time. I'm Ray Whipps, chairman of the Council, Central Bible Church, and I have a letter from pastor directed to me as being the chairman. Dear Ray, in response to the majority vote of the council on Saturday, January 17, by which they have asked for my resignation as pastor of Central Bible Church, I am hereby submitting my resignation to take effect immediately. I am deeply grateful to the Lord for the many blessings that my family and I have experienced during the years of our association with Central Bible. May the will of God be done in all of our lives in the coming days. Sincerely yours in Christ, L. Dwight Custis. I know that we receive this with mixed emotions. And thinking of our own country, where we'll have a new administration coming Tuesday, Lord willing, the ending of the reign of one of our presidents. We've all prayed and hoped that God would be in control of our country, that he has been, will be, but we have not had to just hope. We know that God has been in control of Central Bible Church, and that he will continue to be in control as long as we honor him, honor his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know I speak for the council, for me personally, and for the congregation, those that are here, those that are not here, who express our love, appreciation for the loving ministry of Dwight and Lucille, our love for them and for their families. And even in our Sunday school lesson today in Baraka class, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and the ending words of that verse, that men are to always pray and faint not. And it was pointed out that we either do one or the other. And so I encourage each one of us to be praying for Dwight and Lucille, that they will be led into whatever ministry the Lord has for them. And I just know that we will be faithful in doing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray. Yesterday, when I left to go to the council meeting, Lucille and I knew that this was a possibility, and we prayed together that the Lord's will would be done. And we accept the council action as the Lord's will, and so I have submitted my resignation. The motion that was presented to the council was that the resignation be effective on the 1st of February, but I asked to be relieved immediately. I felt, in view of the circumstances, that there was no point in delaying it anymore, and so this is my last service with you this morning. I do plan to be back for the wedding of Jim Byrne and Becky Johnson. That had already been arranged, but I don't feel that it would be proper for me to be involved in any further Central Bible weddings or funerals after this, and so I trust that you all will respect my convictions in that. Question also came up of a farewell for us. Lucille and I, of course, have been living in the shadow of this for a long time,
And many weeks ago, we decided that that just couldn't be under the circumstances. And so I hope that you will understand that, too. We're going to leave right after the service is over this morning. We won't be at the door as we usually are. But I do want to express my deep gratitude to the Lord for the opportunity of having been able to serve Him here at Central Bible. While the work hasn't been easy, the Lord never promises that His work is going to be easy. And many of you are very dear friends of ours and always will be, and you'll always be upon our hearts. We thank you for your many kindnesses to us, and I trust that those of you who have prayed for us will continue to do so. We don't have any plans as far as the future is concerned. We're just waiting upon the Lord to see what His leading will be. When it was decided that I should speak this morning, of course the question came up, what do you say in a time like this? And since I've never been in a situation like this before, it was difficult for me to decide. In fact, I didn't decide until about 7 o'clock this morning. But my great concern for this service this morning and for our departure from the ministry here is that the Lord would be pleased. One of our ladies called me this last week to ask me some questions about different verses of Scripture, and one of the verses that she asked me about was the verse, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And as I answered her question, I didn't know that I would be faced with that so soon. But I stand before you this morning in fear and trembling in the sense that I don't want anything that is said or done or even anything in my own heart this morning to be displeasing to the Lord. I think that's the most important thing. I've told some of you we have a poem on our wall at home, and the last verse of it reads, and I take this for the service this morning and for today, "In the sweet fear of Jesus, let me begin each day, serving or resting always under His gentle sway. All that I say, directed. All that I plan, conceived. With the remembrance present, Jesus must not be grieved." I've decided to take Psalm 103 this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, and most of you do, would you just turn to that passage? I felt that probably the safest thing to talk about this morning was myself, in the sense of letting you know how I react to this situation, and I hope that my reaction possibly can be of help to many of you. I have mentioned several times that I don't usually take a verse for a year. In fact, I don't remember that I've ever done this before. But the Lord, who knows all things, must have known what was coming, and I know that He did. And my heart was directed especially to Psalm 16, verse 8, in which David says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." And the word "moved" there means to totter or to fall or to stumble. And In all of the circumstances leading up to this, I have sought to set the Lord before me because I believe very firmly in a sovereign God, and I know that He works in all of our circumstances, and I don't know of any other way to have peace except getting your eyes on the Lord and keeping them there. That fits right in with Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And so as I think of my ministry here, I don't regret anything that I've preached. I wish that I had preached it better. And I told the members of the council yesterday, I wish that more of them had been able to see what I have been preaching. But as I think about the circumstances that we all face this morning, I've found real comfort in Psalm 103, and I just want to briefly share these with you this morning. The Psalm begins as I would like to begin this morning. You know, there are so many passages in the Word that talk about praising the Lord, that and praising the Lord at all times, that it teaches us that there never can be a situation that can arise in your life and my life for which we should not praise the Lord. It may hurt, we may not understand it, but God is in control, and God works all things together for good, and He works things according to the counsel of His own will, so that in our deepest hour of trial, it's wonderful to know that we can say with David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And I was especially interested in looking at this psalm again this morning to see that David is talking to himself here. And there are several passages of Scripture that indicate this. There are times when, we have to minister to ourselves. And I don't know what David may have been facing as he wrote this psalm, but he was telling himself when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He was speaking to himself, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And so one of the ways in which we can face our trials and difficulties in a very important way is to begin with a recognition that God is in control, that all of our blessings come from Him, and even our trials come from Him. And He takes all of these circumstances and not only works them for His glory, but for our good as well. The second thing in this psalm that I would like for you to see is that which is expressed in verse 7. I'm not giving you an exposition of the psalm this morning. I'm just thinking with you about the psalm and the way that the Lord has been ministering to my own heart. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The ways of the Lord. Psalm 18:30, David says, "As for God, His way is perfect." It's one thing to say that when things go the way you'd like for them to go, and you see the answers to prayer that you would like to see. But I've been reminded this morning that that's just as true when things go the opposite direction. His way is perfect. Isaiah 55 the Lord reminds us that His ways and our ways are different, and His thoughts and our thoughts are different. But it also says in that passage that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. And so not only are God's ways different from our ways, but His ways are infinitely better. I don't understand it this morning, but I believe it, and I'm comforted by it. And when Paul concludes that wonderful 11th chapter of Romans, his heart just seems to be overwhelmed with the truth of the gospel and the ways of the Lord, and he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." One of my daughters-in-law, Martha, painted or wrote out in calligraphy a poem that's been very dear to me, and Gary and Martha gave it to me for Christmas, and I was reading that this morning. And it's a poem that I told some of you about, I suppose, several months ago now. I just heard a part of it, and I recognized that it was probably a hymn. And David Blood and I were down at Rockaway, Oregon, for a missionary conference, and we were walking on the beach. And I told him about the first line of this poem. And I said, "David, I've never heard that before. Have you heard it?" And as soon as I asked the question, he started to quote it. And as we walked down the beach, he gave me all the verses of this song from memory. And so I said, "Would you write it out for me, because I'd like to have it?" And so a week or so after the conference was over, I got a letter from him in which he had enclosed this poem, and I was delighted to get it and to see the whole thing, and learned at that time that it was one of John Newton's hymns. Well, just a short time after that, I was reading Packer's book, Knowing God, and I came to the chapter which so many have mentioned as a rich blessing, the chapter entitled These Inward Trials. If you haven't read his book, get the book and read the chapter at least. But at the end of this, I found this poem again. And you know, it seems that when the Lord is dealing with you, you often get the same emphasis or the same verse of Scripture from several different directions. So when this came up this way, I realized that the Lord had it for me. And I read this morning in connection with my own desire for Central Bible Church, that we would see the hand of the Lord in a special way here. It hasn't pleased the Lord to answer that. But this is the way the poem goes. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know, and seek more earnestly His face. I hope that in some favored hour at once He'd answer my request, and by His love constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more, with His own hand, He seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayest seek thy all in me. I'm sure it's true with every one of us, as was true of Moses. The Lord makes known his ways to us. And the only way we can learn the ways of the Lord is by the experiences, the trials, the testings that he leads us through. But it was a blessing to me to see that this morning, that in all of this, the Lord was not only calling upon me to praise him when I couldn't understand, but to rest in the fact that his way is perfect. But then there's a third thing that is mentioned in this psalm, and David devotes a lot of time to this. When, after speaking of how the Lord makes known his ways, he mentions the mercy of God. And I'm thankful this morning for the mercies of the Lord. I'm thankful that he never leads us through any trial or testing and leaves us alone. Listen to these verses. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's true this morning. The mercies of the Lord are inexhaustible. Most of us have tapped the mercies of God in the past. And we're going to have to tap the mercies of God again in the days to come. And isn't it great to know that those mercies, regardless of how severe the trial may be, those mercies are inexhaustible. Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, and his mercies are new every morning. And how wonderful it is to see this. And we see this in this psalm in a most encouraging way, because we see this in the light of man's sin, and we see this in the light of man's frailty and his failure. And of course, this exalts the grace of God, doesn't it? It exalts the mercy of God. If we deserved His mercy, or if we had to deserve His mercy before we could receive it, none of us would ever experience it. And as I read through this psalm, it seemed to me that David was drawing a contrast between a great God on the one hand and a sinful, frail human being who's here for a time and passes away just like the wind going over the flowers of the field. And I think that on the basis of this, this in a sense has been characteristic of my ministry, I trust that you've seen that. But I would like for you to remember me as a pastor who had nothing good to say about the natural heart of man. But I also want you to remember me as a pastor who was at a loss to find the right words and enough to say about the greatness, the majesty, the glory, the wisdom, the power, the love, the grace, the faithfulness, the sufficiency of our wonderful God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the way I want you to remember me. There's a fourth thing that I want you to see here. Verse 19. You know, I think when I first started to study prophecy, I felt that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that then He would be sovereign. I love this 19th verse because it means that in David's day God was sovereign. And it means that in our day God is sovereign, that He sits upon the throne of heaven, and that He reigns over all. And you know, we as men and women, as His children, seek to determine what the will of God is, and that was the question before all of us in the council meeting yesterday. As I say, I'm perfectly satisfied that the will of God is done because I believe in the greatness of the Lord. The Lord has prepared His throne in heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. It would be impossible, utterly impossible for us to have peace if we couldn't believe that God is working all things out in accordance with His will. I firmly believe that nobody can stand in His way. I can't stand in His way. And that God is the one who is sovereign over all of the affairs of men. Now, when David got to this point in the psalm, you notice that he reverts back to the way he started. But he does it with a slight difference. And I want you to see this. I mentioned, as we first started to look at this psalm this morning, that David was talking to himself. And will you notice that as he goes down through the psalm, he begins to speak to the Lord's people. And he uses the words our and we. So that in verse 10 he says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. So he starts with himself, and then he includes the people of God. But do you notice what he does in verse 20? By this time his heart is so overwhelmed with the wonder and majesty and glory of God that he shouts to the angels, whom he evidently anticipates are looking and listening, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. You see, even the angels in heaven are occupied with praising the Lord and don't have anything that is more important to do than to be worshiping him. When Isaiah looked into heaven and saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, he saw the angels and he heard the angels as they were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. So David wants the angels to join him in praising the Lord, and I call on the angels this morning. And he expands it in verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. See, once you see the wonder and the glory of God, you want all creation to join with you in worshiping him. But then he comes back as he started in the last expression of the psalm is, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the way that I would like to look at my own present circumstances, and Lucille stands with me in this, as do the other members of our family, just rejoicing that we can trust a faithful God to meet our needs and to meet your needs and to use all these circumstances for the honor and the glory of his name. Let me close with the words of a hymn. I think, though the hymn book I got this out of didn't indicate that this was from Psalm 103, yet I am reasonably sure that the writer of this hymn must have had it in mind. You know it well because we've sung it here often, and yet perhaps we don't notice the words and the message of a hymn until we have occasion to, until we can look at the words apart from the music. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise ye the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore him. I really do thank the Lord for the privilege that has been mine to be here, and I pray God's richest blessing upon each one of you as the Lord has led in the way that he has. Shall we bow together in prayer? Father, we submit to your will joyfully and rejoice that we can trust thee, dear Lord, when we cannot see. Bless each of us here this morning as you know our needs, and above all, we pray that you'll take continual glory and praise to your most wonderful name. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.